Good morning and welcome to this harvest service, and welcome also to any visitors who are with us this morning, and of course a special welcome to those worshipping with us through listening to a recording of this morning's service. There's only one intimation other than what's in the back of the order of service, and that is to say that while Andrew last week announced the death of Robert Black, Robert's funeral will be this Tuesday the 6th of October, and it will be at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium at 10 a.m. So that's Holmesford Bridge this Tuesday, 10 a.m. The psalmist writes, "The land has produced its harvest. God, our God, has blessed us. God has blessed us. May all people everywhere honour him. Let us honour God in our worship by beginning singing our first hymn on the sheet, Praise God for the Harvest." Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, as creator of everything, at this harvest time, we come together to offer you our thanks and praise. We praise you for the bounty and variety of your creation, the changing of the seasons, the productiveness of the soil, and the harvest of both land and sea. With wonder in our hearts, we thank you that we are able to be co-creators with you, developing new streams of plants and controlling pests and diseases in our plants. We thank you as we develop ways of making our land more productive for the growing of flowers, fruit, and vegetables in garden, allotment and field. Lord, we offer our thanks for all who play their part in producing, harvesting, preparing, distributing and selling the wide variety of food that we have to eat. Creating and sustaining God, we praise you for feeding us with spiritual as well as material food, confessing that we are not always worthy of your goodness towards us. Forgive us all our wrongdoings. May we learn to live not on bread alone, but on your every word. May we be nurtured by the Christ, the bread of life, and be fruitful branches of Christ, the true vine. And may we always be ready and able to offer others his life-giving water to refresh our world. All these things we ask in his name and for his sake, and further pray in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're pleased that we have got the Jam Club with us, and I'm going to hand over to Louisa, who is going to tell us what they've been doing.
Well, this month, September, we were dealing with harvest. We did the story of the parable of the sower, and the children did four beautiful drawings of all the different parts of the story. They then got a funny story the following week about Pip the apple tree. And it had dealings with a crow who fed other plants lemonade and gunpowder, and then what happened to them, and they drew pictures of that. And they've also learned the songs they're going to sing just now.
At harvest time we celebrate God's gift to us of food and drink. We thank him for the care he showed for farmers in this season.
should just have left them to the side because I'm not as tall as the flowers either. Well, boys and girls, you've been looking at harvest time and looking at why we actually have this particular Sunday, this harvest service. It's a time for us to remember that we are fortunate enough by God to live somewhere where we have enough food and we've got enough food on the table. But you know as well as the adults know that throughout the country and indeed throughout the world, there are people who simply don't have enough to eat. And the Bible tells us that we who say that we are followers of Jesus should try to help these other people. And sometimes that's not always easy because of where they live or because of the situation that people in this country are in. But what we can't do is we can't do nothing about it. We've got to do something about it. And it's got to sometimes be us who do something about it. We can't simply always leave it to others. There's a story. I know the version, one version, you've perhaps heard this same story. You've maybe heard the same story, but with different characters. The version that I know concerns a king of a very small kingdom. And his daughter was getting married, and he wanted to invite everybody in the kingdom to his daughter's wedding. And of course, everyone in the kingdom were really amazed at how was he going to afford to have all of them there at this wedding. And he said that he didn't want them to take presents for the bride and groom, but rather what he wanted them was he wanted them to take one bottle of their very best wine. And their bottle of very best wine would be put together with everyone else's, and that would be the final toast. So when it came to the wedding, came the day of the wedding, everyone was there, but as the people arrived at the castle or the palace, wherever it was being held, guards were there to ensure that they took their bottle of wine and put their bottle of wine into big vats all round the gate. So as the day went on, people enjoyed themselves, and then it came to the time for the last toast. So the servants served out everyone a glass of wine that had come out all the containers. And of course, as everyone went to toast the bride and groom and they tasted it, well, the only way to describe it is it was rotten. It was rotten. It tasted vinegary. It tasted watery. It tasted awful. Because you see, what had happened, boys and girls, men and women, was that everyone had left it to everybody else. People took the attitude, well, if there's all these people going to this wedding, no one will notice that I put in my horrible bottle of wine. Nobody will notice that I put in a watered-down bottle of wine. Because they thought everyone else would put in their best bottle of wine. They wanted to leave that to everyone else. And that's what we, as Christians, have got to guard against. That we don't sit back and see people in need who are hungry and do nothing about it, but rather choose to leave it to other people. We've got to do something. Now we're going to sing the hymn that I've chosen for you, and that's the second hymn on the sheet, Pears and Apples, Wheat and Grapes. Thank you. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, and we read there from verse 21. The wicked borrow and never pay back, but good people are generous with their gifts. Those who are blessed by the Lord will possess the land, but those who are cursed by him will be driven out. The Lord guides people in the way they should go and protect those who please him. If they fall, they will not stay down because the Lord will help them up. I am old now. I have lived a long time, but I have never seen good people abandoned by the Lord or their children begging for food. At all times, they give freely and lend to others, and their children are a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, and your descendants will always live in the land. For the Lord loves what is right and does not abandon his faithful people. He protects them forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be driven out. The righteous will possess the land and live in it forever. The words of good people are wise, and they are always fair. They keep the law of their God in their hearts and never depart from it. And then in the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 27. And this comes at the end of the passages that we more familiarly know as the Beatitudes. But starting at verse 27, Luke writes, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill treat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit you on the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you." Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his word, and to his name be the praise. We continue our worship by singing the third hymn on the sheet, "For the Fruits of All Creation."
Thank you.
May the words of my lips be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. Not a harvest hymn that we are singing today, although Mary has played it, but a well-known hymn and a reminder that a harvest service like this, with the harvest display beautifully presented by Elizabeth Canavan and Jean Galloway, is a time for us to reflect on God's goodness to us in providing us with a rich harvest of food and other things. It's a time for thanking, not necessarily celebration. I'm sure there are many years when farmers and growers here and in other countries don't feel like celebrating as freak weather conditions resulted in a poor harvest for them. Despite these setbacks, most of us don't suffer terribly much, except perhaps through increased prices for whatever particular commodity has been affected. As well as thanking God for the harvest, it's traditional that we share our harvest with others. Also, in recent years, the harvest that we enjoy, we look on not simply being restricted to food, but extends to basic items for daily living. And yet, another development is not simply to share locally, but to go to other lands, which to me seems only fair, because as what we benefit from in our harvest doesn't simply come from our own land. We are very dependent on the labours of people from other lands for the food that we eat. We all know that there are many people, at home and abroad, who lack sufficient food and basic items for living. And it's those kind of people that the Christian Church attempts to help. Christian giving, we are told, is not limited to one special Sunday like this, but rather should be ongoing. To do that can mean for some of us that trying to fulfill our Christian commitment can be difficult and expensive. So it's important that we realise that our giving, while it should be generous, should be very much in line with what we can afford. There's a story told by Mother Teresa of Calcutta that when she was once interviewed and asked by the interviewer, "Is it only the affluent who give?" she emphatically replied, "No." And she went on to say that even the poorest of the poor give. She then went on to tell the story of a beggar approaching her in the street, wanting to give her 20 pesa, which at that time was worth about 2 pence. She explained that this put her in a real dilemma, because she knew that if she took it from the beggar, he would have nothing to eat for the rest of the week. But if she didn't take it, she knew that he would be offended. So she said that she was quite proud to say that she took that offering. Her philosophy was that giving cleans the heart and helps you get closer to God. Generosity, of course, is not the sole preserve of the Christian, or is it simply a nice trait to have. It's right at the heart of what our faith is all about. Indeed, the writer C.S. Lewis defined Christianity as a kind of giving. God gave generously to us in Jesus, and we are called to respond in faith and generosity to others. A reading from Psalm 37 tells us that the good man is generous with his gifts. Generosity shouldn't simply be an occasional act, but rather should be a way of living. And the psalm goes on to say that the generous at all times give freely. A big problem for us as a church or as an individual trying to fulfill our Christian commitment is that there are so many demands now being made on the harvest that we have to share. We are confronted by many, as Psalm 37 puts it, children begging for food. But the bigger picture of Psalm 37 is a vision of the entire people of God upheld by the practice of mutual generosity, giving and receiving. Today we are confronted by great need, both locally and further afield. As a church, we here in Livingston try to answer some of those needs through our Christmas food parcels, Christmas gifts, donations to the food bank, and of course today in the giving of food boxes, shoe boxes and knitting, which are now distributed much further afield than simply Eastern Europe. In doing this, we are trying to fulfill Christ's call, not simply to be kind to those that we know or those that we like, but rather to be generous to everyone. And in the reading from Luke's Gospel, this includes even our enemies, even those who hate us. Every day there are new demands being made on our generosity as we witness massive migrant and refugee crisis across Europe, and we see the problem just across the channel. Some of the scenes that we have seen demonstrate that there's going to be an ever greater demand for help now and in the future, and it's going to be help of every kind that's going to be sought. Some of us might feel that we give, while others who could quite easily give only take. In the reading from Luke's Gospel, Jesus contrasts those who accumulate for themselves, the takers, and those who have generosity of spirit, the givers, and leaves us in no doubt as to whom blessings will be given. In every aspect of life, in every good, caring, helpful idea, there's always going to be those who abuse the system. But as we continue to support charities like the food bank, we must realise that there is also real, genuine need. If you watched the BBC programme last Monday night about the food bank in Dundee, you'll be aware that many of the people who use it are really in dire straits. And sadly, all too often, the biggest sufferers are too young to know anything other than that their stomach needs food. Yes, I know that many of the adults are in their situation through their own actions, through the misuse of alcohol or drugs or even crime. But again, we must look at our reading from Luke. Ours must be the way of generosity. It may involve poverty, hunger, being hated, insulted, or even feeling that you're being made a fool of. But the passage tells us that that is the way of satisfaction. The people we help with our shoeboxes are not necessarily short of food, but rather lack basic everyday items like soap, toothpaste, shampoo. It's quite difficult for us here to imagine not having some of the things that are requested in the shoeboxes. But in supporting this appeal, we are, to use Blythewood's own words, providing loving care for body and soul. I hope you'll be able to come along for lunch today, to the lunch that Dorothy Penno and some of the ladies from the Guild have prepared, because there I hope to show a very brief 5-minute video that shows our box, well, not particularly our boxes, but shows the boxes from Blythewood being distributed. And I'm sure you'll be left in no doubt of the absolute joy of those who receive a box. I was reading this past week an article about a man called Jackie Ross. Like me, possibly you've never heard of him before, but Jackie Ross was a minister in Lochcarron and was one of the people who started Blythewood way back in 1966. His attitude was very much, time is short and the work is urgent. He liked to quote the words of Jesus that Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 9, verse 4, where he said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work. Well, sadly for Jackie Ross, that night has come, but he has left the organisation with the attitude that the time to help is always now, because the opportunity will be lost if we don't. Let us then today thank God for his harvest to each one of us. Let us be willing to share that harvest, be it food, money, time, or basic essentials, buoyed by the knowledge that in doing this work, we will be blessed by God for our showing of his love to others. Amen. We continue our service singing hymn number 4 on the sheet, For the Healing of the Nations.
Lord, we pray with one accord for the just and equal sharing of the things that earth affords, to a life of love in action, help us rise and pledge our word. Lead us forward into freedom, from despair your world release, that redeemed from war and hatred, all may come and go in peace. Show us how through care and goodness, fear will die and hope increase. All that kills abundant living, let it from the earth be banned. Pride of status, race or schooling, dogmas that obscure your plan. In a common quest for justice, justice, Mary, hallow life's brief span. You, Creator God, have written your great name on humankind. For our growing in your likeness, bring the life to Christ to mind, that by our response and service, earth its destiny may find.
We continue to worship God in our offering. We come before God again, once more in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we place before you now these offerings of money and of everyday goods, asking your blessing upon all of them. May our weekly offering be used wisely to further the work of your church here in Livingston and in Scotland. May our shoe boxes and monetary gifts for Blythewood be used to show your love to others in different countries through brightening and sustaining their lives. Father, at this special time of thanksgiving, we pray for all who work to ensure that we have food to eat and to share. Lord, bless all who labour to satisfy our needs, while we pray that all trade may be done openly and fairly, with due regard to the environment and human dignity. Father, we pray for areas of the world where hatred and wars make daily life more difficult. We pray that those who see armed conflict as the way may hear and respond to the words of Jesus, who spoke of peacemakers being blessed and treating our neighbours as ourselves. We pray for this, our own country, for the Queen and all those in authority in both our parliaments. May they understand and listen to the views of others with respect, so learning more of the people that they serve. We pray for individuals and families, known and unknown to us, who are coping with illness, poverty, hatred, or tragedy. Show us where we can lend a sympathetic ear, speak a word of comfort, or offer practical help, and so show your love in action. As always, we remember the sick, both at home and in hospital or hospice. Comfort and sustain all who are in need of your grace at this time. Father, we pray for all who mourn, asking that the knowledge of Christ's resurrection may be their comfort. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. As you so freely gave of yourself, help us to use our God-given gifts freely in the service of others, and to do so with joy in our hearts. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. We close our worship singing our final hymn, Inspired Through Love and Action.
Thank you.
Before our closing prayer, can I just remind you of the lunch? Because it really, Dorothy has put in quite a considerable amount of work, and I hope as many of you can join us. Can I also say that the quicker you get through, the quicker you'll get fed, because we're going to look at the 5-minute video before we eat. May the eyes of our heart be open to all the blessings which surround us. May thankfulness be within us day after day. May our prayers reflect gratitude while acknowledging the needs of others whose situations are so drastically different from our own. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us and those whom we hold dear today and every day.